Welcome to EnviroPod, a chance to catch up with all the good things your Department of Public Works and Environmental Services does to maintain and improve the environment in Fairfax County. I'm your host, Bob DeMarco, and on this episode of the podcast, I'm speaking with Blair Avancho, grassland habitat intern with the Solid Waste Management Program. And today, we'll be discussing grassland birds and their habitat at the I-95 landfill complex. Blair, welcome to the show.
Yeah, thank you for having me. I'm excited to be here and just to get to talk about this work with a wider audience.
Oh, great. Well, it's a pleasure to have you here. And a very interesting topic and one that doesn't get spoken about much, especially when we're talking about solid waste management. Before we get into the meat of the conversation, just describe to listeners what the I-95 landfill complex is like.
So if you haven't been there, it's not just like a pile of trash. It's a site with both like public and private waste management efforts going on. You have active and closed landfills where and areas for different types of waste to be processed. With an active landfill being just sort of that kind of more typical landfill trash pile that you might be thinking of processed waste, but the area of closed landfill, they have about 50 acres of closed and capped landfill where there is trash under soil and grass that has the only routine maintenance that they do for like this closed landfill would be just like I shouldn't say the only maintenance, but like they have methane wells to let off any sort of like buildup of gas under here, but they're not adding any more trash to this like closed landfill area. It's just grass planted on top of it. It's this and if you're there, it's just sort of like this wide sort of grassy hill with different sort of gravel roads kind of running through it. And you'll see it kind of like dotted with these like smaller methane wells, but yeah, and the big sort of like centerpiece of like the I-95 landfill complex that you'll see from like a while a far distance away is the like ReWorld like energy what's it called?
Oh, is that the trash to energy plant where they mm-hmm. burn?
Yeah, that's the like separate company that has the partnership with the county that's essentially to simplify just like burning trash for energy, but
gotcha.
in a as cleanly as you can do so.
So essentially to the untrained eye, a closed landfill looks like a big grassy plateau.
I wouldn't say a plateau necessarily. It has some flatter areas. It's just sort of like a hill with different sort of like tiers that kind of go dirt road tiers that kind of go around it. There is a flatter area on top where there's like a remote control airplane club that got some kind of deal to set up this like runway on top of there, and there's like a small gravel lot on top of this hill as well, but it's mainly just this like grassy hill with some like dirt roads running through it.
So really, we're here to talk about the birds that have been spotted. The I-95 landfill complex is actually a pretty robust bird habitat. Tell me about that.
Yeah, so there's a great deal of bird diversity that you can observe at the I-95 landfill complex as a whole, because you have the sort of bordering sort of woodline surrounding the complex where you'll see birds that you likely to run into in your typical like suburban neighborhood, but with that wide open expanse of the of this sort of wide treeless area of the landfill, closed landfill grassy hill, especially with that like 50 acres of essentially hilly grassland, you have a habitat structure that grassland birds are attracted to and able to use. So you and for this reason, this diversity of birds that you can see at this site has been attracting bird watchers to the landfill for a long time, and more recently the department has been making efforts to incorporate bird conservation efforts into the management of that closed landfill area for the reason of some bird watchers brought it to had certain concerns about management practices, and the people running the landfill have also had some concerns about where bird watchers are going on the site, and trying to create an area that is both safe for bird watchers to watch these birds and also safe for these birds to sort of nest and develop their habitats is the goal of how they're trying to manage this area of closed landfill.
What kind of birds are we talking about?
So eastern meadowlarks, grasshopper sparrows, savanna sparrows, you'll see some bobolinks. There's a lot of American kestrels out there as well.
Kestrels are those small birds of prey. They're raptors, right?
Yes. Yeah. I believe they're the smallest falcon. I mean, at least that you'll find in the area. But you can see them perched on power lines on the landfill complex or on those methane wells that I mentioned earlier. And sometimes you'll see them just sort of like. If you're on top of the hill, just kind of looking over that wide grassy expanse, you'll see you'll sometimes see American kestrels hovering over areas of the grass before diving down for something.
So, what is your role in this in observing these birds and studying these birds?
So, in the Saw Waste Management Department was presented with this goal of creating a no-mo area in after certain concerns about the grassland birds present at this landfill were raised, and the main goal in bringing me in this internship position was to sort of answer some questions about like the extent to which grassland birds and specifically what kinds of grassland birds are using that 50 acres of closed landfill, and how they're utilizing that habitat, and if there are any specific areas within that 50 acres that they seem to be concentrating, or that could be potential areas of even higher conservation importance, trying to find ways to modify or just to see how the standard operating procedure for the management of this 50 acres, this no-mo area, how approaching that going forward could be done to promote the conservation of these grassland birds that are found here.
When I hear or read no-mo, it's no mowing, obviously. Mm-hmm. It reminds me a little bit of several years back. The county right here on this campus, the main government center, created these pollinator meadows, and they did not mow these areas because various pollinating insects were flourishing there. And I really like the idea because though this is a beautiful place and very well manicured, it's nice to have an area that is somewhat wild where you can actually see these butterflies and other insects. So that's what these no-mo areas reminded me of. So was this all kind of accidental, this thriving habitat for grassland birds popping up at I-95 landfill?
Yeah, I don't think it was the original intent when like planting the grasses to cap that landfill when they were closing it. It wasn't necessarily to attract grassland birds, but having grassland birds attracted to like large enough sections of closed landfill isn't something unique to I-95. This is something that we're seeing some research on in Europe and in other areas of the U.S. I think I saw someone doing a thesis about grassland birds at a landfill in Georgia as well.
Okay.
But basically especially on the East Coast, where most of the natural grassland habitat is just been gone and completely developed, or it is the only thing equivalent that you would find in the area would be typically like agricultural land, or just like larger rural plots of land. in areas like landfills where it's kind of surrounded by more like suburban or urban development, the wide open grassy areas provided by closed landfill can attract grassland birds that don't have that kind of habitat in the area at all anymore. So with like grassland birds, they're like the main factor kind of driving grassland bird decline is habitat loss. So having these sort of having landfills sort of be a refuge for migratory or resident grassland birds is important. And it wasn't necessarily the intention of the NOMO area to attract grassland birds. It's just sort of the nature of how of when you have that much open grassy space, it's that's the type of habitat structure that these birds are attracted to.
It's kind of ironic in a place like Fairfax that is, you know, man, it's developed to the hilt and in a lot of really, really great ways. But it's interesting that a natural habitat would spawn out of the refuse from that development. And it's kind of beautiful and circular. So let's talk about your activities and how you've observed and studied these birds. Take us through a little bit of what you've done.
So, yeah, a lot of what I was trying to do was, one, get used to and kind of understand the operations going on at I-95 so that any kinds of suggestions I could be making for how the NOMO area could be managed going forward wouldn't be disruptive to the operations going on there. And also in terms of how I could be observing these birds, the more robust studies on understanding the bird population within a certain area will sometimes use like ID tagging, which would involve like marking specific or not tagging, banding, we're marking specific birds with bands, but for something that I was able to just sort of do just by myself that's less kind of robust or have as many moving pieces or certifications as something like banding, is avian point count surveys, where this is essentially structured and structured bird watching in specific areas with room for like experimental repetition, where you're going to the same points on a map and observing the same radius around those points every time that you visit the NOMO area, so that your observations can be kind of standardized. The types of surveys that I were conducting, these avian point count surveys, I was going out with Carlos Leyva, my colleague in solid waste management, who was helping me out on this project, and we were doing double observer avian point count surveys, where I had sort of planned out a map of these 100 meter radius circles that cover the 50 acres of NOMO area, we would essentially go to this within the first 3 hours of sunrise, go to the center points of these 10 sort of circle zones, and then for 10 minutes we would observe and record all of the birds that we could see and hear within a 100 meter radius of the point that we were. And bird identification is like better by sight with binoculars than it is by sound. I'm still working on my bird calls, even with like mid-Atlantic birds that I've been working with or studying for a while. So while we're observing with binoculars, we also have the Merlin, the Cornell Labs Merlin bird app out as well, that's like identifying bird calls for us, just making our lives easier. We'd be recording and we would record sightings of birds that were sort of outside of that point's designated 100 meter radius, but we would mark it down as such, where it would be marked as an incidental observation. So it's Yeah, it's basically just sort of a, like a, putting it simply, it's like structured bird watching. But
that is fascinating, and I like. I mean, to me, it makes sense how methodical it is, going to the same spot at the same time every time you visit, and kind of having a 360 degree view of that area and spotting or hearing what you have there. What would you say is the most exciting thing you found?
So I was excited to see so many American kestrels in one place. I hadn't seen them gathered in the numbers that I had seen them at the landfill anywhere else. And also just seeing in general, it's always exciting to regularly see birds that you know are in like steep decline and that you aren't able to see anywhere else. Pretty much in the DC metropolitan area, like where it's an eastern meadowlark is pretty hard to come by most places in the DMV, but just to be able to not only to see eastern meadowlarks but to see them for almost all of the surveys that I conducted, and there's like year round sighting data on eBird of people sighting eastern meadowlarks at the I-95 landfill, just like they're seen there year round, but you don't see them anywhere else in the DMV mostly. Just seeing that sort of refuge habitat in action is really interesting. I mean, the other thing this isn't really a grassland bird, but seeing just because it's like so close to the Occoquan, we're seeing bald eagles out. Wow. at the landfill, and there was one day that we saw what we were pretty sure was a peregrine falcon. We didn't see it for very long because it was flying over, but there's a lot of raptors out there, so like bald eagles and like the peregrine falcon I just mentioned. You'll see a lot of red-tailed hawks and those very small American kestrels are out there a lot as well.
Ah, they're fascinating. And I remember seeing close to the Occoquan what are those called? Osprey.
Yes.
Oh, man, they are amazing. They are amazing to look at.
It was crazy. On the first day that I was actually getting my tour of like the I-95 landfill complex, we saw what looked to be a juvenile bald eagle and an osprey that were like engaged in some kind of just like aggressive behavior
aerial
towards each
combat.
Other. Yeah, yeah, see, yeah, yeah. So some kind of dog fight, you know.
So if you're seeing these birds, if you're seeing kestrels and other birds, that must mean that there is a thriving ecosystem around them upon which they feed, and so on and so on. So it seems like the landfill, you know, if you zoom out, is a pretty amazing ecosystem in general.
Yeah, yeah. I would say so. It's like I was saying, it's unique in the area, in the amount of diversity that it provides.
How does this benefit the overall health of the county? And
as far as like ecosystem services provided by like grassland birds, I mean, you kind of see that more out in more rural areas that are more dominated by farmland or areas further out west. But when you're looking at the importance of it here on here in sort of like the DC metropolitan area, it's more so as a piece of the larger puzzle of declining bird populations in North America that has been like going on since like we've lost like three billion birds since 1970, and I believe like 50% of grassland birds I think grassland bird populations have declined by 50% since since 1970. Like grassland birds as a group of birds have experienced the most like precipitous decline within that period of time, and so it's a thing where like at any place where these birds could be thriving and you're able to create an environment for them to thrive without disrupting the without like you're not converting an active landfill into a nature preserve. You're taking closed landfill that's not being used and making it more suitable for birds that you're not able to see, that are regionally rare, that are in decline, like the eastern meadowlark. There's like three and four eastern meadowlarks have been lost since 1970.
Oh my gosh.
And so having a place like I-95 landfill complex where you're able to actually where you're seeing these birds regularly and thriving is just sort of like a piece in a much larger puzzle of how we can go about trying to reverse grassland bird decline. And we can reverse bird decline because we've done it before with wetland ecosystems. Like the Wetlands Conservation Act has been like immensely successful in doing so. And there's a lot of talk in certain circles of trying to sort of mirror those wetland conservation acts for our nation's grasslands as well.
And I can tell that you're on the leading edge of that. So it's good to have people like you. And I got to say, you have your whole career in front of you, it seems. So it's good to know that there are people like you out there who are, you know, really actively going after that. Well, before I let you go, I'm curious. I know that your time at the county is limited. Where do you go from here? What kind of studies are you going to be engaging in as you go from here?
So I'm currently looking into a couple of different like seasonal field work positions, doing different kind of bird monitoring or bird field technician positions. There's some more grassland ecology internships I'm looking at, just sort of like all around the nation, and just trying to get more I'd like to get more experience in different like working on bird conservation in different regions of the US, just because so far all that I've done has been like grassland birds in Virginia, and trying to expand that to somewhere there's really really interesting grassland bird conservation efforts going on in Montana, and I'm looking into some of that as well. But
beautiful and wide open. Yeah, it's a big country to cover. Well, Blair, thank you so much for coming on EnviroPod. It's been a fascinating conversation, and I really admire the kind of work you're doing. So I look forward to your continued success in your future endeavors with this.
Yeah, thank you so much for having me.
And thank you for listening to EnviroPod. If you want to get more information on the Fairfax County Department of Public Works and Environmental Services and all that it does, go to fairfaxcounty.gov/publicworks or call 703-324-5033 weekdays between 8 a.m. and 4:30 p.m. Thanks again for joining us on EnviroPod, which is produced by the Fairfax County, Virginia government.